Well, first question, can you all hear me? Okay, we're good. Let's turn to the word of the Lord. Let's turn to Mark chapter 4, and we will read tonight. Tonight's reading comes from Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. This is the word of the Lord. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was asleep in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you that in the Old Testament we read of your promises, promises made to your people, promises of a Messiah that would come to redeem them. And we rejoice in the New Testament that those promises that you made were kept in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And that we have been added to your number. And this causes us to rejoice. Bless us now as we attend to your word. Help us to hear what it says, what it declares, and help us to believe it and put it into practice. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Over the past few days, we've experienced some serious stormy weather. Many of you probably have some stories to share, and I have one of my own. I was on my way home from a meeting on Wednesday night, and the rain started, and it was fine, and then suddenly a massive downpour, and I couldn't see a thing. And then I got to this one intersection, and I saw a very giant puddle. And I just remember what my father always told me, do not ever drive through water. And many of you have probably heard the saying, turn around, don't drown. And so I pulled into a Lowe's parking lot, and I called my wife and said, "I'm trapped." And she said, "Don't worry, there's some detours." And so I drove home, and things started getting better. The rain started to pass, and the sun started coming out. And I was like, oh good, you know, I think this is, we're past this. And then I looked over to the eastbound side, and the eastbound road. I'm heading westbound to Centerville, and there's no cars. I'm thinking to myself, this could be interesting. Well, I look, and I'm just about home, and I suddenly see in the eastbound lane a very giant pond. And I see one SUV go by, two SUV goes by, and then the rest of the cars decided, no, we're not doing this. When I got home, I hugged my wife and my son really tightly, and I thank the Lord God. I thank Jesus for bringing me home. Now, some of you may have similar stories, and some of you may have stories worse than my story, where you've had to clean up your homes or your businesses because of all this inclement weather we've been having. We've been going through a lot of storms lately. Now, storms, they can be natural, and they can be metaphorical. And we can see from tonight's scripture reading, they reveal three things. They reveal our inadequacies before a living and true God. They reveal our need for a Savior. And they reveal that we need to respond to our Savior. So let's consider our inadequacies first. It was the close of the day, and Jesus had spent the entire day speaking in parables to a crowd assembled on the shoreline. And after giving a series of parables, Jesus commands his disciples to get in the boat and sail it across the Sea of Galilee to the other side. And then suddenly a storm arose. Now, Simon, James, John, the sons of Zebedee, and Andrew, they were experienced fishermen. And Philip and Bartholomew, they grew up on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. They knew what the weather was like when they were at sea and when they were safe at home on the shoreline. You know, as a comparison, many of us here living in the D.C. metro area know how to commute on the Beltway from home and work. And we know what the roads are like, and we know what the traffic's like in all seasons. But we, along with the disciples, know that there's times when the weather or the traffic can go awry and our ability to drive is sorely tested. And sometimes we're like the disciples. We're angry, we're desperate, we're frightened, and maybe deep down, we're wondering if Jesus cares about us and our situation. Storms have a tendency to reveal our inadequacies. When God created Adam and Eve, He endowed them with skills by which they could tend the Garden of Eden and make creation beautiful. And even after they fell into sin, they and we, their descendants, who sinned in them and fell with them, well, He still endows all of us with skills and abilities by which we can make our way through this world. But at the same time, this world is a difficult place. The thorns infest the ground. We earn our food and drink by the sweat of our brow. We bring forth our children with difficulties. And storms arise and they toss us about. But all these obstacles, they're graces. They're graces because, like the disciples in the storm-tossed vessel, they reveal our need for a Savior. If we suddenly had an emergency, we sure could use someone to save us. We call 911 and the first responders come and provide first aid. What a comfort when we see them, and what a comfort when they take control of the situation. The disciples, experienced fishermen, should have had this situation under control. But this storm was beyond them. They needed help. So they go back to the boat and they wake up Jesus. As fully human, Jesus experienced all the things we experience. When He was hungry, He had to eat. When He was thirsty, He needed to drink. And when He was tired, He needed to sleep, especially after spending the entire day teaching. But you know, there's another aspect of Jesus' humanity in this story, and that's faithfulness. In Psalm 4, verse 8, King David sang, "In peace I will both lie down and sleep, for You alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." Jesus, as fully human yet without sin, was truly faithful to the Father. He slept not only because He was tired and in need of refreshment, but because He trusted that the Father would get Him safely to the other side. He knew the kingdom of God would come into fruition, and He knew He would be its king. In Mark 1, 12 to 13, we read that Jesus went into the wilderness and He was sorely tempted by the devil. But Mark also notes that He was surrounded by wild animals. And yet Jesus leaves the desert unharmed because He trusted the Father, and the Father protected Him with angels. Later on in Mark, Jesus revealed His future death, the perpetrators, the manner of death, and the aftermath to His disciples. Jesus would not be lost at sea. He would go to Jerusalem. He would face trial before Roman and Jewish authorities, and He would be crucified for our sins. But on the third day, He would rise from the dead. With that knowledge, Jesus could sleep soundly at the back of the boat through the storm, and He would trust that God would get Him to the other side. But the disciples, they don't know this, and they cry out, "Teacher, do You not care that we are perishing?" It's harsh what they say to our Lord, but they're desperate. They fear they will drown. And Jesus knows that they will make it to the other side, but they do not. And the disciples accuse Jesus of not caring. Surely He must have heard the wind, and surely He must feel the water soaking His clothes, and yet He still sleeps. So they wake Him up with harsh words, "Teacher, do You not care that we are perishing?" Now, at first, I think at first we're all tempted to condemn the disciples for calling him a teacher. Have they forgotten the miracles that he conducted in Galilee? Have they forgotten that he cast out demons? Have they forgotten that he healed Peter's mother-in-law? Have they forgotten about the lepers that he healed? What about the paralytic? Have they forgotten about the healing of the paralytic? No, I don't think that's the case. They remember that Jesus can perform miracles, but Jesus reminded him that his main mission was to teach and preach about the kingdom of God. So it should not surprise us that they call him teacher, because that was his main focus. So what they're really saying is, teacher, knowing that you can perform miracles, now would be a good time. Now, when we go through storms or trials, we may have our doctrine right, but our practice, our putting it into practice, can be jumbled. In Romans 8, 23 to 27, Paul notes that as adopted children of God, we sometimes don't know what to pray or how to pray, and that it comes up from our hearts and it's at our mouths, but it comes out as groans instead of words. But we shouldn't despair. The Holy Spirit will help us and intercede on our behalf. And God the Father and God the Son will understand and come to our aid. So at times, we will find ourselves praying to God in the same manner as the disciples. But it's okay. It's all right to pray in that manner. Jesus will respond. How does Jesus respond to their request? He awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and the waves died down, and all is calm. Jesus' manner of speaking to the wind and the waves is akin to how he spoke to the demons that he cast out of afflicted people. It also echoes back to Genesis 1 when the heavens and the earth were created, and they were without form and they were void. And yet the Lord God speaks, and the realms of heaven and sea and earth all go into their proper position, and then they are filled with every living creature. Jesus reveals that he's more than just a teacher. He is the Son of God. And just as he, along with the Father and the Spirit, brought the physical world into existence, he can put the fallen world, demonstrated by the chaotic storm, back into its proper position. And once again, Jesus would repeat this event at the end of the Gospel of Mark. He would be tired out by teaching, but by a grueling, unjust trial and a severe execution. That would tire him out. And then he would sleep, and he would leave his disciples in despair and confusion. Oh, but on the third day, he would appear alive and put them and put us in a better position. Well, after the storm, Jesus turned to the disciples and he chided them for their behavior. Fear had prevailed over faith. And they had good reasons to fear, and so do we whenever we're in a storm. But Jesus asks them, "Why were you so afraid?" In other words, why did you have such a heightened sense of fear? Have you still no faith? Now, earlier in the story, Jesus commanded them, "Let us go across to the other side." If he said they were going across the other side, they would make it to the other side. No wind or wave would prevent them from getting across the Sea of Galilee. They might be tossed and they might be swamped, but they would not perish at sea. They would get to the other side. And like the disciples, we've all experienced storms that have sought to drown us. There are forces seen and unseen. The same forces that contended with Jesus and the disciples contend with us today. And we cannot help but cry out to Jesus for help. And in like manner, Jesus is ready to help us. He will decrease our fears and increase our faith in him. We can sleep peacefully in the storms or take action if we must. But ultimately, we can look forward to getting to the other side. And in Romans 8, 37 to 39, we are assured that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Oh, they may toss us, and they may break over us, but they will not take us down because we trust in Jesus. And one day the storms will cease, and we'll arrive at the other side, and there Jesus will greet us on the heavenly shore. But not only will he be on the heavenly shore, His presence has been with us the whole time. The Holy Spirit maintained his presence in our midst, convicting us of our fearfulness, convincing us to have faith, and sustaining us through the storms. Now, in closing, let's look at the disciples' response to Jesus and our response. Fear of perishing has given away to fear of the teacher. And they cannot help but ask the question that recurs throughout the Gospel of Mark. Who then is this? Who then is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? Jesus possesses throughout the Gospel of Mark a secret identity. He teaches and performs miracles that cause people to wonder, who is this man? And Mark writes it in this manner so that we will conclude that Jesus is the Son of God. At the beginning of his gospel, he gives a thesis statement. In Mark 1:1, he writes the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And then he recounts the miracles, the teachings and preachings and discourses, providing evidence that Jesus and events that proves that Jesus is the Son of God. And then right at the climax of the account, at the crucifixion scene, the Roman centurion overseeing the operation, seeing the darkness shroud the land, hearing Jesus cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And learning that the temple curtain has been torn from top to bottom, he puts it all together and says, truly this man is the Son of God. The disciples' question is answered by the Roman centurion at the end of the book. But what about you and me? Tonight we need to realize who we are and who Jesus is. In this region, we are known largely for what we do for a living. This region is a hub for government, for bureaucracy, for business, for commerce. This is a place where skill in many fields is in high demand. But we have limitations. Oh, we have the skills to work in specific fields, but then God reveals to us that we are immensely inadequate. When that happens, Jesus reveals our fears and our lack of faith. And without faith, it is impossible to get to the other side. Without faith, it's impossible to enjoy sunny days. Without faith, it's impossible to get through the storms, and it's impossible to get to the other side. And anyone who says that they use their skills to get through the trials of life, they're never going to reach dry land. We need Jesus Christ. And our text calls upon us to go even deeper, go deeper. It calls upon us to ask with the disciples, who is this then? Who is this man who could sleep through a storm and then awaken and have the wind and the waves obey him? He is Jesus Christ, fully human and fully divine. And as fully God, he begins our voyage, continues our voyage, and he ends our voyage. And as fully man, he sets the example, encouraging us to trust in God. But let's go even further. Let's go deeper. Too often we're tempted to delight in Jesus when things are going well, and then accuse him of drowning us when things go awry. Or we only call upon him when we're going through trials. Jesus commands us in today's text to obey him and trust him in all occasions. He will get us to the other side. He is fully man, and he knows what we're going through. He's been there before. He shows us by example that we can rest knowing that everything is under control. And moreover, as God the Son, He is in total control. One day, He will say to our storms, the trials that we face in this life, "Peace, be still." And we will disembark on the other side. Until then, let us trust Him and obey Him, regardless of our situations. Let us come to Him in the good times and the bad times, calling upon Him to increase our faith and decrease our fears. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for Your word and how it tells of Your promises made and kept to Your people. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank You for coming into our world to become one of us. We thank You for saving us from sin, dying on the cross for our sins, rising again to new life. And we thank You for giving us the Holy Spirit to keep us in sunny and stormy weather. Father, we ask in the name of Christ to increase our faith and diminish our fears when trials come. Help us to trust and obey Your Son, knowing that He has secured us in Him and His finished work. As the work week comes upon us tomorrow, and the expected and unexpected are before us, help us to hide what we have read and heard tonight in our hearts. Bless us, O Lord, with Your presence at work, at home, and at leisure, till we return to worship You next Sunday. And remind us daily that You will get us to the heavenly shore in spite of the wind and waves of life. We ask this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Let's stand and